Rebel Force Radio presents Star Wars Oxygen. The music of John Williams.
Red 5, I'm going in.
Like Star Wars itself, the music in the film defied conventional wisdom. At a time when disco was burning up the charts, having a traditional symphonic soundtrack was another huge risk on Lucas's part.
He really understood the genre that I was talking about. It's a group of composers that weren't that well looked upon in the 70s. There was a different attitude toward the old-fashioned symphonic and the scores. And I had a lot of music in the movie.
Hey, Star Wars fans, Jimmy Mack here with you, and welcome to Star Wars Oxygen, the music of John Williams. That's right, it's Rebel Force Radio's monthly look and listen to the work of the maestro in all six films of the Star Wars saga, soon to be seven films. Joining us, as always, is musician David Collins.
Hey, Jimmy Mack and Star Wars and music aficionados. Welcome to Volume 18 of Star Wars Oxygen, the music of John Williams. Today, Jimmy, we are kicking off the fifth Star Wars film. Well, unless you count, you know, the holiday specials and the Ewok films and other stuff. We're talking about Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones. Way back in 2002, we just finished up The Phantom Menace with the last episode of Oxygen, and now we're talking about this movie, a great movie, the second of the prequel films, and a movie that has a lot to talk about musically. And of course, you know, this is a controversial film in the eyes of some in terms of you know, the love story and how that works, and how Anakin's initial steps toward the dark side actually took place. Fascinating, fascinating stuff. I can't wait to dive in, especially musically. John Williams really does an incredible job here telling the story, the love story of Anakin Skywalker and Padme Amidala.
I hear what you're saying about the controversy about how Anakin started to make the slide, because people, I think, wanted it to be a little more obvious, and it just wasn't hitting you over the head. I think I read an interview with Lucas a long time ago, and he was saying, you know, people expected Anakin to be the kid who's pulling the wings off flies and,
right,
you know, torturing small animals and stuff. But that wasn't the case. You had to see where he started off good and ended up bad, and how a lot of that stuff was kind of out of his control, even though he tried to control it. That's essentially, to me, why Anakin slid to the dark side, is he was trying to control things he couldn't possibly control.
Yeah.
And it drove him mad.
He was a teenager who fell in love, but he was a teenager that was trained as a warrior who had abandonment issues, you know, and then he loses his mother and has a violent emotional outburst. We'll talk about all this stuff, but you know, I mean, Attack of the Clones is, I think, musically also controversial because, and we'll have to spend a whole show on this in the future. The movie really does become chopped up in terms of adding music from other movie soundtracks into the end of Attack of the Clones. The Phantom Menace music is used pretty liberally at the end of Attack of the Clones, and a lot of changes happened, especially toward the back half. The first part of the movie, you know, there's some pickups and there's some rewrites and there's a ton of unreleased music. We've talked about this before with, you know, how soundtracks work and not having an ultimate edition of Attack of the Clones and all that. But there's a lot to talk about here. There's a lot of incredible work that John Williams does. Right off the bat, you can tell that this movie got a lot of love from John Williams and George Lucas in terms of the silent movie process. In fact, I have some clips, but before we get into that, I wanted to do a little bit of listener feedback, because we've been doing this every week, you know, talking about all of you that listen to the show and write in. Thank you once again for listening. We got a couple of fun notes about what we've covered so far. This one's from Martha. And Martha wrote, she's a huge fan of Star Wars Oxygen. I discovered it after David presented the deleted scoring from Empire on the digital stage at Celebration. I've been blasting through the old episodes of Star Wars Oxygen since I got back, and I'm not quite current yet, but episode 10 blew my freaking mind to the point that I felt like I needed to drop everything and immediately write fan email. Amazing analysis of Luke's theme and how it relates to Luke and Leia's theme, and the comparison to both to the hero's journey was seriously brilliant. I was a band geek in high school and college, playing the oboe, and I'm a Star Wars geek now, so this podcast just tickles every geek bone I have. Thanks, keep it up. From Martha. Great email. And
I want to hear Martha play some solo Star Wars music with the oboe.
That's right. And I think Across the Stars, which we'll talk about today, would be a great one for that. I'm glad. Thanks, Martha, for writing. I'm really glad you liked Volume 10. That was one of my favorite moments, too, talking about Luke and Leia's theme and how it kind of harkens back to the main title. I want everyone who's listening to the show to keep that in mind, because that's going to become very relevant later when we talk about some themes today. But thank you very much for writing that.
Yes, go woodwinds, go.
Go woodwinds, go. Absolutely. Here's another really cool one, and I wanted to give a plug to an artist who wrote in. This is from Doug Cowan, and Doug writes, "Hi, David. I just wanted to write and share my appreciation for your Star Wars Oxygen podcast. In a whirlwind after Celebration finished, I ran into you briefly outside the Hilton. Anyway, I was in the Celebration art show, and the painting I created for the convention was done while listening to your commentary on John Williams' score. Painting a large work like this can be a long affair, and when I found the Rebel Force Radio Library with all the Oxygen episodes, it quickly became my preferred show to listen to. Your enthusiasm and insight for both the work, its use in the films, and especially the creative process behind it is just awesome. I think I did my best Star Wars work to it. Looking forward to future episodes, and I hope you had a great time in Anaheim. Best, Doug Cowan." So if you go to Doug Cowan's website, I think it's dougcowan.net, he made this incredible piece of Star Wars art. He's a Star Wars artist. You can buy his work. Of a stormtrooper sitting on a speeder bike outpost at an outpost at Tatooine. And he wrote us this fan email saying that he was listening to Oxygen while he painted that, which just blew my mind. It was just a wonderful, really fantastic email to receive. Thank you so much.
That is great. That is great. You know, a lot of times we hear from listeners and they tell us what they're doing while they're listening to the show. And I think it's a cool kind of like Star Wars vortex we get involved in when people are listening to the show and doing Star Wars things like creating Star Wars art. And so we're in the vortex, the Star Wars vortex on Star Wars Oxygen.
I love it. I love it.
Yes.
Yeah. I have a couple of other pieces here that I wanted to just get to briefly. One of them actually was about the Imperial March hidden in a Phantom Menace track. This is really interesting. So Jason writes, "Hey guys, I just got around to listening to your latest episode of Oxygen. Thanks for the show. Anyway, the main reason I'm emailing is I was surprised in your latest episode, a very striking music cue wasn't pointed out." Well, Jimmy, this immediately made me go, wait, what, what, what? "And perhaps I'm only hearing it in my head," Jason writes. "The track title is from the original soundtrack. It's called The Sith Spacecraft on the original 1999 soundtrack release, the cue that plays during the end space battle. To me, it seems to have the same musical DNA as the Imperial March, almost as if it were being played by a mariachi band. I've heard this ever since 1999 and continue to hear it to this day. Anyway, anyone I pointed out to says they can't hear it and was looking to you to validate my claim. Help me, Star Wars Oxygen. You're my only hope." From Jason. What a great email. Thanks, Jason, for writing. I was like, no, I don't know. I don't know. I think we pointed out all the Imperial March references already. I'm not really sure what he means. And then I listened to it and trying to hear what he was thinking about. Now, when I first heard the Sith spacecraft, I thought, well, I don't remember that being in the Darth Maul landing, but he's actually talking about bump it up, bump it up, bump it up, bump, 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 bump. You know, that whole cue there.
Ooh. Yes. Oh. Did you hear that?
Come out of the cave. Come out of the cave, please, Jimmy. Let's talk about the Sith spacecraft. Anyway, it starts like this. You know, so this is why I was confused. I wasn't sure what he was talking about. But if you scroll forward, he's talking about this cue right here. Starting right here. That just blew my mind. Because now that he's saying it, I do hear, you know, bump it in a bump it in a bump it in a bump up a bump 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 bump. Do you hear that? I think that's what he's talking about.
Play it again.
So if you go, if you take the rhythm out of it, because it's like bump it in a bump it in a bump it in a bump up a bump it in a bump. But if you go bump 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 bump, you know, there's some similarities there. So there could be, I see what he's getting at. Here it is again. Check this out. What do you think, Jimmy?
You know, I hear it. And knowing what we know about the way John Williams will play within similar frameworks, when he's trying to make that subconscious connection between the same vibe he's conveyed previously, but he's doing it in a different way. And so the vibe he was creating in the original trilogy, obviously with the Imperial March, was here come the bad guys.
Right.
In the prequels, the bad guys were not the Imperials, but yet he wants to create a similar vibe that he had done previously. And like I said, it hits you in your subconscious. You don't even realize until someone points it out to you. Now that music I've come so accustomed to applying toward the Trade Federation and the Nemoidians.
But here's the thing.
It's used with the Sith, I know, but...
Well, no, but Anakin is in an N1 starfighter flying around and eventually wins that battle. And that theme, bum-ba-bum, is part of Anakin's theme and is part of the Imperial March because the Empire is so largely made up of Darth Vader. You know, he wields the Empire throughout the classic trilogy. So you can argue that because Anakin is flying around, this is Anakin's battle, you know, and the Trade Federation, it's all tied together. I mean, this is what we learn in the prequel trilogy, right? That the prequel trilogy, the good and evil are tied together. It's a fabricated war in order for a Sith to take power, right? So you've got the Trade Federation and you've got Anakin flying in there and he wins that battle. It kind of hits both notes. It hits the Anakin side, but it also hits the Trade Federation side, which you find out later are kind of linked anyway. So, I mean, I kind of like that. I mean, this kind of blew my mind. So, Jason, thank you for writing that because I didn't pick up on that at all. But now, once you said it and I listened to it, I heard it. I definitely heard it. And we'll talk about other things with the Imperial March today as well. It's another reason why I wanted to read that. But thank you for writing to everyone that wrote in. Thank you for writing this stuff. It's just fascinating to hear your feedback, and we're very grateful that you're listening and writing in. So good job, Jason.
I wonder what would happen, David. I wonder what would happen if we took a version of the Imperial March with a similar tempo and multi-tracked it with that piece from Phantom Menace.
Ooh.
Just to hear how they would play off of each other.
Oh.
Now, I mean, there's so many different versions of the Imperial March.
That would be a really good idea.
I think, you know, trying to find it in the right key and the right tempo just to make it sync up, it might be impossible, but...
Yeah, I mean, that's
dun, I hear you. You're doodling around with the ivories there.
Yeah, it's just... Yeah, bum, 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 bum. Yeah, I mean, I can hear it. That would be a really good exercise. That would be a really good exercise. Yes, I've got my piano back here, you know. I think that would be a great thing to try. I love finding hidden themes and references to things, and they're there. You know, it reinforces this idea that the storytelling of Star Wars really is contained within the soundtrack, the music. You know, it really is. And they say this all the time. In fact, I've got a clip, you know, just to get us fast forwarded to Attack of the Clones. I have a clip here of them talking about, first of all, Across the Stars, which we're going to talk about a lot today. We got to talk about Across the Stars. We have to talk about the love theme. It's such an important piece of music. I'll talk about it more in a bit, but I can't overstate how important I think Across the Stars is to the Star Wars saga. And I think the filmmakers agree because it was featured, you know, it had its own music video and it was in all the press stuff. And there was this great little mini documentary about the music that came out with the DVD, and I think leading up ahead of time. I have a couple of clips from that. I'll just play this for you right here. This is George Lucas and John Williams talking about how it's a silent movie and how the love theme is really important to this story. Check this out.
Updated end credit, take 260.
Here comes that solo oboe right there.
The Star Wars films are basically silent movies, and they're designed as silent movies. Therefore, the music carries a has a very large role in carrying the story, more than it would in a normal movie.
The moment you stand in front of the orchestra and begin to conduct the music and hear it for the first time is the moment of greatest exhilaration for me as a musician.
You know, this is the first time we've really done a full-out love story, so I wanted to have the love theme be something very, very emotional and very poetic, and, you know, and have something that was very strong to help push the idea of a love story. But I, you know, also just wanted something beautiful. It was a chance to get, you know, a really beautiful love theme into the series.
In earlier film, at least, love stories may have been more idealistic. We can now have passionate scenes that are very explicit physically. But in earlier decades, all that had to be imagined. So I think the task and opportunity for the musician might have been to provide the erotic aspects that couldn't be shown.
Whoa.
I think George had those things on his mind when he described to me the need for a love theme that was like the great love stories of the films of earlier times. Collaborating with George has been a lot of fun over these decades. It's been great with him. We've had great success.
Five films with this huge glossary of themes, but we have no love theme. So now we have...
Now we've completed the book.
Almost.
I love how he talks about how in previous decades, the era of classic Hollywood, love scenes, like, you know, full-on scenes of actors, you know, in bed or whatever, were implied. They weren't shown on the screen. They were implied. And that musically, they had to convey that passion, you know, the sort of young love or young lust or whatever it is, you know, that drives these two together has to take place within the music. It has to be a part of the music, and it has to be sort of a core part of this story. And you know Across the Stars, of course, very well, Jimmy, right? I mean, it's a beautiful piece of music.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's really used quite liberally throughout the entire film. But going back to what George said about how, you know, in old-time cinema, you wouldn't necessarily see any love scenes, or God forbid, sex scenes. And you hear Williams kind of talk about that a little bit.
Was that Hank Hill? Was that, well, you wouldn't see any of that stuff in my day. That's who you sounded like. God forbid there's a sex scene. That boy's not going to learn about sexual education on Star Wars Oxygen. Peggy, I forbid it. Sorry. Sorry, you were saying
sitting in on Star Wars Oxygen. I wasn't expecting for that a guest appearance.
Well, you
by
need
Hank
to keep
Hill.
It. You need to keep it clean on this show. I've got children listening to this show, and that's PG family entertainment.
Great. So Bobby listens to Star Wars Oxygen. That's good news.
Damn it, Bobby! I told you to stop listening to that filth. Knock it off. They're talking about sex. That's not something we're going to talk about. Here's have a beer.
But
sorry, you were saying, it sounded like Hank Hill was like, God forbid to talk about sex. Sorry, go ahead.
I did not expect Hank Hill to show up on this.
Well, neither did I.
The unpredictability of Rebel Force Radio.
That's
once
right.
again.
Sorry about that.
You know, it's, stop it.
All right, we'll do.
The point I'm trying to make is it's interesting to hear George talk about how old-time cinema didn't put the love scenes right out there, you know, right in front. You know, it was the music that conveyed a lot. And that's important to understand his approach in that way, because a lot of people argue that the romance between Padme and Anakin on screen, Natalie and Hayden, it wasn't really hitting you over the head so much. It seems like it seems like there's chemistry between the two of them. Let me just say that.
Right.
But it's very sudden when she suddenly looks at him as they're facing death, as they're facing public execution in the Colosseum on Geonosis. She turns to him and says, I love you. Even he seems surprised. You love me? Wait a second. Did I miss that part of the movie?
What was all that forbidden love talk?
It's like even Hayden seems surprised to hear her say that. So you don't get really the visual on the romance as much as you do the through the soundtrack.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's really, I think, I guess that's what I meant too about controversy that I mentioned at the top of the show, which is that, so much about the prequels is about zooming out and it's the macro world building of the story. There is a very personal story going on with Anakin, but I mean, it's one small part of a much larger political drama that's happening that explains how everything happens. And so much of the love story is implied. We see it. And, honestly, I will defend the prequels. I will defend Star Wars movies. There's just such brilliant stuff in Attack of the Clones. But, those scenes are a little awkward. Let's just call it out now. Let's get it out of the way so we can talk about this movie with joy and openness and positivity. There are some scenes there that we're just like, wow, that's not how I saw that going down, but that's cool. It's in the music, though. And I guess that's the point of this show. The music is there. I remember seeing Star Wars in concert at the Hollywood Bowl going, that looks like a love story that I want to watch over and over again, because the music was so powerful with the visuals, and it is telling that story. And there are some jumps in there that I perceive. But this story I also know works for a lot of fans and it doesn't not work for me. I think that there are some scenes that I would have liked to seen more of. I would have liked to have seen, a more gradual build, but there's a lot of elements going on fighting for screen time, including the mystery of the Sith and the separatists pulling away. There's a whole huge political drama to cover in this movie. There's a lot fighting for screen time. And what the music does is it carries that emotion for us, just like a silent movie does. That's why George always refers to them as silent films. They're the opposite of silent, but what silent films actually were historically were music-driven stories. And that's what this is. And that's what this piece does for us, It's just this really great melody. Yeah, it just goes and goes and goes. I mean, it's got this beautiful minor sense of longing and passion to it, And then this really very delicate solo oboe carrying the melody. And then it falls, And then soars to these heights, up here. Really passionate. There's a sense of discovery to it as well. And then it actually changes keys here, because now you're in a lower key. Now you're in C minor. You went from D minor to C minor. And it does it again. Full orchestra. Big Hollywood, classic Hollywood strings. It's passionate, it's loving, but it's also very sorrowful in an interesting way. There's the heroic horns. He really gives it to you here. This is really sorrowful. Very black and white, classic Hollywood. Tragic. Romeo and Juliet. And you're on the brink of war. We have to deal with all of this background, this political background, assassination attempts, you know, evil thoughts, war breaking out, you know. I mean, it just goes and goes. I mean, I still listen to this piece and I get chills. I can't believe it's in Star Wars. It's so rich. I mean, there's this sort of like very gentle love story emerging, and then it slowly builds. It really is, you know, forgive us, Hank Hill. It is a very sort of erotic sexual piece. You know, it builds and builds and builds, and it's very passionate, but it's also incredibly sorrowful and dark. And it is sort of set in this very dark period in Star Wars history. War is about to break out, and it does, and they end up getting married in secret. It's also forbidden. They're not supposed to do this. It has that sort of forbidden teen or young person angst, young love angst of, I can't do this. I have political responsibilities. Well, I can't do this because I'm a Jedi and I'm sworn to this monastic order, you know, and they do it anyway. And that's actually what's so exciting about it, right? This piece really, really does... it really is featured everywhere in the movie. I actually, you know, started my theme tracker again. I can't tell you how many times it's quoted here and there as sort of background texture.
Right, yeah. It's very noticeable. Very noticeable. Even if you listen to the soundtrack itself, you'll hear it being referred to in many other tracks. So you get hit over the head with Across the Stars. However, and that may actually have something to do with the fact that I've tended to take this track for granted, because you hear it so much in the film.
Right.
But boy, hearing your analysis of it and then hearing you talk over it too, I could have heard you provide that sort of narration for the entire track. I thought you were going to just let it keep going, because you were opening my eyes to the way the track itself twists and turns with the intrigue that develops throughout the film.
Yeah.
The, you know, the assassination attempt, as you mentioned, the political intrigue, behind the scenes machinations of these leaders of war, and then of course the forbidden aspect of the fact that this is a relationship between Anakin and Padme that should not be pursued. It's bad news for both of them.
Yeah.
And as an audience, we understand that.
That's
it's going
really
to end in tragedy. We understand that.
That is so key what you're saying right there, because People need to remember historically that these are prequels. And that means that as audience members, when they were being designed as audience members, we knew how this is going to go. We know how this is going to turn out, right? This is telling a backstory of something we know is doomed, right? And it produces, you know, a new hope. It produces some very beautiful things. But for these two people, It ends in tears, right? There's a couple things I want to point out musically, and I brought up the Luke and Leia theme, I brought that up earlier with the fan mail, but I wanted to talk about this theme here, right? So you've got this very minor theme, right? It starts out like this, right? Every other theme that has been a love theme in Star Wars has started out with this kind of interval. Right? Right? Or... Right? That's a major sixth. Right? So, what does John Williams do? And a lot of people have been waiting to hear us talk about this, because we've gotten a lot of emails about this. He sets it in a minor key, which we know from earlier in the show, minor is all sort of a darker version, a sadder version. So this love theme starts out very sad, but it's linked to all the other love themes in Star Wars. Right? So they are linked to the other love themes. They're linked to Leia, right? It's linked to this, right? It's linked to that. So that's one way that John Williams linked it to all the other love themes. And of course, to eventually to Anakin and Padme's offspring, Princess Leia. Well, let's talk about the main title here, right? Right? So if you were to ask the average person to hum the main title, which is, you know, bum ba bum 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 bum, anyone could do it, right? Everyone knows bum 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 bum. Take the notes out of it, right? Take the notes out of it and just concentrate on the rhythm. Bum 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 bum. Dun 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 dun. Slow it down and make it a little more legato. Bum 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 bum. You know? Right? It's the DNA of the main title is in this theme.
Oh my god.
Bum ba-da-da-dum bum ba-da-da-dum bum 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 bum.
Every show. Every show, there's a mind-blowing moment, and I think we just experienced it right there.
It is the
same. That was you pulled that off like a magician almost.
It's right there. It is the main title set as a minor-themed love song that is related to Princess Leia. Of course, the main theme is also Luke Skywalker's theme, who is also the son of Anakin and Padme. So you've got Right?
I love how you just deconstructed that, like this is an episode of CSI, and you've just solved the crime. I mean, this is incredible.
It is core. This love story is core to everything that takes place in Star Wars. It's core to the creation of Darth Vader. It is core to the birth of Princess Leia and Luke Skywalker. It is core to the Civil War. It is core to the Chosen One prophecy. It is core to bringing balance to the Force. This is how it starts. Is this sort of very tragic star-crossed lovers love story, and it's all here in this piece. I actually think that John Williams probably had this piece, you know, that he was kind of kicking this around in his head for years before he actually put it down on tape, because I feel like it's that core. It's got the bum 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 bum, you know, but ba da dee da da dee da, and then it's of course got this opening thing, right? By the way, I've got one more thing that I want to point out about this theme, right? All right, those are the first three notes. Now, if you take this note and move it up a half step, right?
Oh my God.
It is a half step hair away from the Imperial March in those first three notes, right? It is, I don't know if that's a pure accident or if I am looking at it kind of like we were talking about that, you know, is the Imperial March in this mariachi band, you know, 6-8,
right,
da,
right.
Da, 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 da. But I hear it. And I think that all of those things come together very symbolically in this piece. It's all there. The bones of core Star Wars storytelling is deeply rooted in this piece, Across the Stars. And I think that's why it's the heart of this movie and why it's featured everywhere. The same way the Imperial March was featured everywhere in Empire. My count, I'm not quite done with the movie because the back end of the movie is editorially so complex and there's all this Phantom Menace music in it, like we mentioned before. But it's already, I'm seeing it, you know, well over a dozen times in just the first half of the movie, and it's just quoted here and there. Very, very subtly. You know, but it's there.
Wow.
So that's Across the Stars.
Amazing. That, like you said, this is almost the DNA of Star Wars music.
Yeah.
All put together into one song. If this was Jurassic Park, the guy who played Newman would be trying to steal this. It's the DNA of Star Wars
that's
music.
Right.
It's all right there.
Yeah. You'd have Luke and Leia's theme and Across the Stars and Duel of the Fates all in a Barbasol can that you're trying to get off the island. Yeah, exactly.
And you got Mace Windu wondering where it is.
Yeah. That's right. Hold on.
It all ties in.
Hold
it all
on
ties
to your
in.
Butts. That's right.
Again, you know, music by John Williams too. Those Jurassic Park movies.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. We get a lot of listener email asking if we're going to do other movies. You know, when you're done talking about Star Wars, and I actually tweeted back, when are we ever going to be done talking about Star Wars?
Yeah. Let me just say, David started off this show by revealing that it is indeed episode number 20. And we are still 18. Not even done with the films yet.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're only at episode 2 of the prequels. So we still have all of episode 2 outside of Across the Stars and then Revenge of the Sith. And by that point in time, I'm hoping, knock on wood, it'll be time for The Force Awakens.
That's the plan. And can I also point out that, you know how we're supposed to get a new Star Wars movie every year?
Yes.
That's absolutely true, but one is supposed to be released in December. Another is supposed to be released in May. That actually means that we'll get two movies within 6 months.
That's
then
right.
We wait for 9 months and we get two movies. So like by the time we finish talking about The Force Awakens, guess what's going to come out? Yeah.
Rogue One. Well, Rogue One yeah. is a year later.
Well, but December of 2015 to May of 2016 is only 6 months.
Right.
So I'm saying like, we're going to have another movie to talk about before we even, you know, I mean, we're going to get hit with so much great Star Wars music, movie music. Now, obviously Rogue One won't be John Williams, but we're definitely going to need to talk about it. And, you know, and hopefully we'll talk about a lot of other things. Clone Wars, Rebels, Shadows of the Empire comes up all the time. The video games. I mean, there's so much great stuff to talk about, but yeah, Jurassic Park, one of my all time favorite, John Williams scores. But yeah, I definitely wanted to cover Across the Stars today. That was a really, really big one. There's a couple of other things. Can you think of any sort of new themes that stand out to you in Attack of the Clones?
In Attack of the Clones?
That was the big one for me.
See, and I'm coming into this really kind of rusty. I should have listened to the soundtrack before we did this show. Because I take for granted, I think I know it so well. But then when you throw a question like that to me, I get stumped.
It's really
there is
subtle.
Some music that really stands out to me as far as the speeder chase on Coruscant.
Yeah, that's
but
a
we're
big
talking
one.
Specifically themes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's there aren't there's a lot of moments like that. The speeder chase is I think a whole other episode. We gotta talk about action music because that's a really, really unique section of this movie. I mean, great, great section of music. We'll definitely talk about that.
Well, let's consider the characters that get introduced in this film, and you tell me whether or not they actually have themes that could be claimed by these characters, guys like Count Dooku. Does he have a theme?
Well, this is the interesting thing that I want to point out here. I don't know if you want to call it Count Dooku's theme, but I have definitely picked up on a theme for, I don't know if you want to call it the Separatist theme or if you want to call it, here's what I've been calling it right now in my spreadsheet. I'm calling it the Separatist / conspiracy / prelude to war theme. I mean, I really don't know what to call this thing. But it's all over the movie. And it is this little motif that goes like this. It goes,
That was the passage I was thinking of in my head.
It happens
when you first asked me about other music that stands out as far as a theme.
Yep.
I know that track and it pops up throughout the film and it's really sort of foreboding and eerie. And it conjures up these feelings of bad news on the horizon,
yep.
Which is what this film is basically all about. So it's really apropos.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah, it comes up a lot. So,
is that Tuba the Hutt I'm hearing there?
Yeah, Tuba the Hutt is back. Well, yeah, I don't know if that's a tuba. It sounds like, yeah, it might be.
It sounds like, what is that instrument? It sounds like a tuba.
It's low brass, so it's probably not French horn. I think it's a little low for French horn. So it's either trombone or tuba, but it could be a mixture. You know, sometimes they'll mix those things into one texture, but let's just say it's Tuba the Hutt. I like that it's Tuba the Hutt.
Tuba's back.
It sounds a little smoother than that. I like that tuba's back. So sure. yeah. So I just called this the conspiracy theme because every time they don't know what's going on, you hear this. You know, the first time it comes up is in Palpatine's office after the assassination attempt. You know, and he's like, well, my negotiations will not fail with these separatists. You know, I'm going to talk to them. No one's, you know, there's going to be a vote of splitting of the system splitting off and whether or not it will come to war. And Palpatine's like, don't worry, I'm going to talk to them. It's going to be great. My negotiations will not fail. Then it comes up again when the thwarted assassination attempt comes up. You know, Padme comes in and she goes, I think Count Dooku's behind it. And he's like, well, you know, even Mace Windu's like, he's a Jedi. He's not capable of doing this kind of thing. Bomb, 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 bomb. Right? Comes up again. And it plays three times in a row. Then it comes up again right after Zam is captured. You know, right after the huge chase sequence, she gets her arm cut off and they're like, Anakin tells the bar, easy, Jedi business. Go about your drinks. That whole thing stated twice there. Bomb, 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 bomb. When he's looking for Kamino in the library. It comes up again when he arrives on Kamino. Anton Wei says, Master Jedi, we've been expecting you. I'm expected. Bom, 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 right? When he meets with Jango Fett, it just keeps going and going and going and going all throughout the movie, you know, until war breaks out. It's that theme that says, it's like a virus through the whole first half of this movie. Like, there's a thing coming and you can't stop it. That's kind of what this theme is, but I don't really know what to call it. What would you call that?
The bad moon horizon, prelude.
That's perfect. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think of Dooku when I hear it, but Dooku doesn't get introduced until much later in the film. So maybe we can find, and you know, that he's being referred to, or his machinations behind the scenes are sort of being referenced to in the dialogue when you hear that music.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it is a Dooku theme. You know, maybe it's a boy. Yeah. For those listening, what do you want to call this? Let us know on Facebook, on Twitter, on the Rebel Force Radio show at rebelforceradio.com. What do you want to call this theme? Because I feel like it's a separatist theme or a conspiracy theme, but I'm not exactly sure. And I think if you go back through the movie and you take a listen, right, you can come to your own conclusions about it.
Well, I got a title for it. Let's call it The Sith Is Gonna Hit the Fan.
Ah, yeah. Sith Hits the Fan. Nice.
Sith Hits the Fan.
All right. Well, yeah. Bom, 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 bom. Or it's going to hit the fan. Sith threatens to hit fan. because it's coming. We just don't know exactly when it's going to hit, but it's on its way. You know,
it makes me think of the movie Tommy Boy when Chris Farley is talking into the fan.
Yeah.
Do you remember that sequence?
Your father. Oh yeah. Definitely.
He's quoting Star Wars and he's barking into the fan. He's talking in the fan. He's not barking. I shouldn't say that, but that's Tommy Boy. Hold on. I brought it up. So
you got to play it.
Yeah, we got to play it. So here it is.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Here we go.
La Luke. Luke, I am your father. La 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 la.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It's talking into the fan is the name of that cue. Yeah. Yeah.
Chris Farley, he was awesome. He would have been great in a Star Wars film.
He would have been great. Yeah.
I don't know who he could have played.
Yeah.
You know, like the Rancor Keeper's cousin. You
yeah,
know,
exactly. Like exactly. Yeah. Darth Ditka.
Or something. That's right, my friend.
Yeah.
The Bears.
The Bears. I'm not even from Chicago and I know that one.
Oh, of course you do.
We have a little bit of time left, and I wanted to talk about a familiar theme from The Phantom Menace and a major appearance that it makes in Attack of the Clones. And yeah. I remember when I first heard this, I remember thinking, boy, are they reusing music or is this original? You know, because by the time you walk out of Attack of the Clones, you're like, I heard a lot of Phantom Menace in there, especially towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
But this is an original piece that was written for this movie, specifically for this moment. And it takes place on Kamino. Okay. And when you first get to Kamino, first of all, Kamino kind of has its own little theme. It's got this like da 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 da. Let's see if I can find it here. Here it is, right here. So Obi-Wan comes landing into Topoka City, right? Comes in for a landing. And eventually, you know, they're walking through the city here, and they're talking about how the clone source is Jango Fett, and where do we keep him? Oh, we keep him here, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, they're talking along about all this stuff. And eventually, as they're talking and he's looking at all the clone embryos basically in the bottles, and then as they grow up and as they're training down below, he sees them all together in their full stormtrooper, clone trooper armor for the first time. And you hear this. Just happened, Jimmy. What did we just hear?
Well, you know, to me, it sounds identical to the music that was played in The Phantom Menace when the Trade Federation raided Naboo.
It's the Trade Federation March.
It's the Trade Federation March. So this is something that's really frustrated me about Attack of the Clones all these years, is to take that music and then repurpose it on an entirely different planet.
Ah.
You know, it just didn't work for me.
Well, here you go. This is exactly why I wanted to talk about this, and I want to sort of close out this show, although we'll be back very, very soon in order to play catch up. It's been a while since we've been talking about this stuff. I've missed you, Jimmy.
Oh, I've missed you too, David.
And I'm so glad we're talking about this, Q, because I knew it bothered you. But here's what I would like to submit to you and to our listeners. This is so intentional. It is 100% intentional. This is a cue that was written specifically for this moment. You're using the Trade Federation March in order to show us clone troopers, right? These are much more, what is the line? Something much more capable than droids, less clumsy than droids, right? John Williams, and you want to talk about musical storytelling. John Williams is flat out telling you that this army was ordered by Palpatine. He is flat out telling you that this is the same crap that he was pulling with the Trade Federation. It is exactly the same. Sifo Dyas, Count Dooku, whoever ordered this army, this conspiracy, blah, 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 blah. It's these two sides are all being orchestrated by the same puppet master. It's Palpatine. Yeah. That's what he's doing here. John Williams flat out tells us long before we ever figured out, before the characters figure it out in Sith, that Palpatine is fabricating a war. And how does he do it? He gives you the Trade Federation march over the clone troopers. It's a conspiracy. He flat out gives us he musically gives us the conspiracy right here. That's how I see this. Because I thought the same thing. I was like, what? This is just Trade Federation music. What's going on? Mm. Ah, meet the real Trade Federation. Yeah, meet the new boss. Same as the old boss. Right. Right? That's what this is.
So it could more or less be considered the theme for The Phantom Menace. And I'm not talking about the film. I'm talking about the guy.
Yeah.
Darth Sidious. He is the Phantom Menace, if you haven't figured that out already.
Yes.
To our listening audience. I know you have, David, but...
Yes, sorry. We're a little spoilerific. We're assuming everyone's seen these movies. We should probably lay that down as a ground rule. Since spoilers are such a hot topic.
Spoiler heavy here.
Yeah.
Palpatine is the Phantom Menace. But, I mean, truly, he is. He is He is the mystery source of everything that is happening. It all goes back to him. He's the ultimate puppet master. He plays both ends against the middle so perfectly. So to consider that a theme for the Trade Federation or the droid army invasion of Theed City might be just looking at the surface of things. You're not digging deep enough. The music should represent Palpatine because he is the one orchestrating all the events, everything from the invasion of Theed City all the way up to the creation of the clone army and the battle on Geonosis. That all has gone across Palpatine's desk at some point, and he signed off on all of it.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's the theme for the Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
The person, not the movie.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And you know, interesting that they don't use the Imperial March, right? They don't use the Imperial March here, because I think that's what everyone's expecting.
But I'm glad they don't, because, you see, there is no Empire at this moment. While it might be, you're seeing key ingredients being put into the pot, it's still not an Empire until you get toward the end of Revenge of the Sith. However, they do use the Imperial March at the end of the film.
Yes.
When the clone army is getting organized there on Coruscant.
Yes.
And they're all marching in formation and everything, and Palpatine's looking over it. And that's good, because that's foreshadowing the eventual rise of the Empire. And you are seeing the most important ingredient in that rise, and that's the creation of the Army of the Republic.
You get it at the end of the movie. You definitely get it at the end of the movie when you see them. And it's because that is after the vote has taken place to grant Palpatine emergency powers. And of course, he swears that he's going to, you know, renounce them when it's done. And he doesn't. We all know this. Now, this army has been placed under Palpatine's official command and is going off to war. Begun the Clone War has, right? That's when you hear the Imperial March, because that's foreshadowing to what eventually gets formed into the Galactic Empire in the next movie. So you don't hear it yet. What you hear instead is a callback to the Phantom Menace, which is, these are all of the rumblings of war, and these are all fabrications of the Phantom Menace. These are all fabrications of Palpatine, and watch him navigate his way towards wielding both sides in order to not only maintain power, but have it in politically increased, all legally, all above the board, right? That's what I think the Trade Federation is about in that moment. It's not just sort of clumsy reuse. I actually think that of some of the reuse that happens in the movie towards the back end, and we'll talk about that later, as I mentioned, this one is actually very specifically and purposefully done. That's my take on it. You know, let me know if you disagree. Anyone listening, let me know if you disagree, but that's how I feel about this moment. I actually think it's a great callback to what we saw happen in the last film.
All right. Well, you know what? I'll go with that. That works for me. That takes a little of the sting out. Maybe a little of the frustration has been removed, because I just felt like it was a case of simple recycling. And that, to me, indicates laziness on the producers of the film, on the part of the producers of the film. So I'm glad it's been resolved.
Yeah, this was very, I actually went back and I compared that to the Trade Federation music on The Phantom Menace, and they're different recordings. It's a slower tempo. It's a little marchier. It's different. It's not the same piece. It's newly
not
composed.
The same. So that's a brand new recording.
That is a brand new Attack of the Clones specific John Williams recording for this movie, right, and specifically for that moment. Yep.
All right. You cracked the code. You figured out why they recycled that piece. And it's not recycling. It's actually a fresh recording. So interesting. And hearing it played back, just audio alone, it seems much shorter than what we got in the film. In the film, it seems like it just went on much longer than it actually did, but it's only just a few seconds worth, judging from what you played.
Right.
Do they ever repeat it in Attack of the Clones? Does it come back?
No.
Or is it just that one sequence?
It's just that one sequence. Just that one sequence.
Yep. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's the one appearance.
All right, well, you know what? I'm getting off my high horse now, David. Congratulations. Yeah. I'm off the ledge. I'm not, that eases the anxiety I had over that piece. And you know, I had anxiety over that being reused.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause it's just such a perfect usage of that theme in episode one as the battle droids are marching on Theed City and Padme's looking out the window and that droid goes by on the stap. It's all, everything about it is just the tempo and the vibe and the tone and the way it all sort of works out on screen. To me, it's so perfect in that moment. I hate to see the music then being repeated and not used, in my opinion, in concert with the visuals as well or as effectively as you get in episode one. But, you know, I like what you're saying about how it's more representative of not armies invading, but the source of those armies invading. The origin of where this is all coming from is clearly Darth Sidious. And so maybe to apply that music to his machinations behind the scenes as opposed to the actual battle that's going on screen or invasion, that makes sense to me. I'm running with it.
The key here that makes me feel this way about this is George's comments about how the stupidity, clumsiness, whatever it is, of the battle droids in episode one. No, that's part of the story, that these guys are going to get wiped out. These battle droids are inefficient fighters, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said that a lot, even before Attack of the Clones was even made, he was talking about that. Now, eventually, you know, they're going to figure out that these are not the way to go, that stormtroopers are the way to go. If you remember this back in the day, I mean, way back, he was saying stuff like this in interviews and articles. That's exactly what this is. The clone troopers are more capable fighters that are replacing the battle droids.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting that they're on the other side of the other faction, opposing factions of this war. But this war is all being controlled by the same person, right? It's a fabricated war, and neither side knows it, right? So it is the same fighting force, but instead of happening behind the scenes, it's happening from behind the desk of the Supreme Chancellor's ruling office, right? That's what's going on here. And I think it's totally tied to George talking about how, clone troopers are more efficient fighters. Clones and stormtroopers are more efficient fighters than droids, you know?
Wow. That's great, man.
Yeah. So
that is awesome, awesome analysis.
Cool. I've got one more for you, or we can save it until next time. We're already
I think we better save it till next time.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause we're coming back sooner than you'd think. We're going to be back in just a couple of weeks here as Star Wars Oxygen will be taking the place of Rebel Force Radio on Friday. Let's see, what's the date on that? Friday, July 10th. There will be no weekly episode of Rebel Force Radio. Instead, you're going to get cool things in your feed like Star Wars Oxygen. So be on the lookout for that. And other cool things coming from the Rebel Force Radio Network. Of course, if you want to get a hold of us, show@rebelforceradio.com, subject line Star Wars Oxygen. We read everything you guys send to us, and then we pass it along to David. So be sure to send us your feedback, and you might hear your email read on the air. Of course, you could always leave us a voicemail for Star Wars Oxygen, too. Whatever our voicemail number is, we give it out every week on Rebel Force Radio. So listen to a sign off from a recent show and you'll hear it because I don't have it in front of me right now. And looking forward, David, to really digging in deeper to Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones.
Yeah.
There's more to this soundtrack than just Across the Stars.
Oh, there's so much more. Yeah,
there's so much more. And I know we're really going to tear deep into it. Great to hear from a couple of cameos here on the show, Hank Hill and Tuba the Hutt.
That's right.
Always a pleasure.
Most people don't realize I played the tuba in high school. It was something that I excelled at very much, but a career and a dream to work with propane took over.
Oh, man. That is awesome.
That's so, all right.
David, any final thoughts on the music we spoke about this hour, specifically Across the Stars?
Just that I would invite listeners to take another listen to it and really think about how intentional that piece is and what's kind of in there, and try and actually tell yourself a story when you're listening to this music, because it's in there, you know, especially the concert pieces, right? This is Across the Stars, the concert piece, which is on the soundtrack, and it kind of plays in the end credits too. It really is kind of a storytelling piece. And throughout every movie, there are these concert versions, I'm doing air quotes, you can't see them, that are basically just in concert arrangements of this music. They don't actually go to a picture, right? And Across the Stars is the one that's featured on the Attack of the Clones soundtrack. Listen to that piece and, you know, think about the story a little bit, and you'll hear all of those elements. Think about the love story. For those of you that are a little older, cast your mind back to when you were a younger person and you were crushing on somebody. I mean, that's really what this piece is, but it's done in a way that is very sort of Casablanca. It's very sort of classic Hollywood, you know, it's very passionate, and the passion in the movie is implied in the music, and the music in Attack of the Clones. This is why the music in Attack of the Clones is so important. No matter what you think about the movie itself, I think we can all agree that this is a brilliant piece, and to me is one of the massive major successes of the film is John Williams' score. And I feel like Across the Stars really is the pinnacle of this score. And you can hear it throughout the film.
It's really important to understand how George Lucas would use all of the tools available to his disposal to tell a story. And you shouldn't overlook or overlisten to any of those tools when they are being applied in the Star Wars universe, because it expands your knowledge and appreciation of the story you're hearing so much more. So that's what this show is all about, though, tearing apart the music of John Williams from the Star Wars universe. We are just getting started on episode 2, and we'll be back in a couple of weeks to dig into more of the oxygen of the Star Wars universe, specifically Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones. So on behalf of David W. Collins and Rebel Force Radio, I'm Jimmy Mack. And remember,
the Force will be with you. I guarantee the Force will be with you, Bobby, if you just pay attention.